Welcome back, listeners, to Sandman Stories Presents, a folklore podcast where I read you to sleep or until the next story. I'm your host, Dustin. Today we are back in the Book of Nigerian Folklore, written down by M.I. Ogumifu. In the first story, the women of the city promise a magic man many things in order to have children. One woman overpromises and has to think quick to get out of it. In the second story, the king has to go away, but when he is thought to be dead, his son must choose what to do. And in the third story, we learn about the elephant's long nose. Okay, let's begin. Olurumbi. In a certain village, no children had been born for many years, and the people were greatly distressed. At last, all of the women of the village went together into the forest, to the magic tree, the Iroko, and implored the spirit of the tree to help them. The Iroko man asked what gifts they would bring if he consented to help them. And the women eagerly promised him corn, yams, fruit, goats, and sheep. But Olurumbi, the young wife of the woodcarver, promised to bring her first child. In due course, children came to the village, and the most beautiful of all the children was the one born to Olurumbi. She and her husband greatly loved their child, that they could not consent to give it up to the Iroko man. The other women took their promised gifts of corn, yams, fruit, goats, and sheep, but Olurumbi took nothing to propitiate the tree. Alas, as one day Olurumbi passed through the forest, the Iroko man seized her and changed her into a small brown bird, which sat on the branches of the tree and plaintively sang, "One promised a sheep, one promised a goat, one promised a fruit, but Olurumbi promised her child." When the woodcarver heard the bird's song, he realized what had happened, and he tried to find some means of regaining his wife. After thinking many days, he began to carve a large wooden doll, like a real child in size and appearance, and with a small gold chain around its neck. Covering it with a beautiful native cloth, he laid it at the foot of the tree. The Iroko man thought that this was Olurumbi's child, so he transformed the little bird once more into a woman and snatched up the child into the branches. Olurumbi joyfully returned home and was careful never to stray into the forest again. The end. Okay, and story number two, The Staff of Oranyan. Oranyan, a brave and warlike king, founded the city of Oyo. As it was necessary for him to lead an expedition to a distant part of his kingdom, he left his son in charge of the capital during his absence. But the king was away for such a long period that it was thought that he and his soldiers must have perished, and at last the people made his son king, and for some time he ruled them wisely and happily. However, Oranyan was not dead, and after many delays and hardships, he again drew near to Oyo with his few surviving followers. As he approached the city, he was startled to hear the notes of the kakaki trumpet, which sounded for the king alone. Feeling sure that nobody could be aware of his return, he asked a man working in the fields for whom the trumpet was being sounded.
"For the king," replied the man.
"Yes, but which king?" asked the travel-worn stranger.
"Do you not know that the son of Oranyan is king and rules over us wisely and well? His father was killed in battle many months ago."
Desiring his son's happiness more than his own, the old king retraced his steps and settled down with his few friends in a humble retirement in a remote part of the country. Only at Oranyan's death was his presence made known to his son. The young prince, now king, grieving at his noble father's sacrifice, erected an obelisk over the spot where he died, and the monument, which is known as the Staff of Oranyan, is still to be seen. The end. Okay, and story number three, The Elephant's Trunk.
Now, it is a matter of common knowledge that the elephant has a long trunk, which he uses both as a nose and sort of as a hand. A very useful trunk indeed. But he was once without it, and had a very ordinary short snout like other animals. Elephant was always inquisitive, and went sniffing about in the forest, prying into the secrets of the other animals. One day, he came across a dark hole in the ground, and into this hole he poked his nose to see what was there. At once he regretted his curiosity, for a large snake who lived in the hole seized him by the nose and tried to swallow him. At this, Elephant made a great uproar, and his wife came rushing to his assistance. She seized his tail and pulled, and Elephant also himself pulled and pulled, but the snake would not let go. And as a result, Elephant's nose was drawn out into the long trunk which he still has. At first he was ashamed to appear in the forest on account of his trunk, but now the other animals envy him. One day the monkey, which imitates everybody, looked down the same hole, thinking it would be good to have a long trunk so as to be able to swing from the trees by his nose. But the big snake who lived in the hole swallowed him, and since then, nobody else has tried to imitate Elephant. The end. I really like these stories. I'm seeing the Orokoman come more and more in these stories, and it's cool to learn about that character. It's from the Iroko tree, which should not be made into furniture. And in the second one, I thought it was sad but kind of noble that the dad was like, you know what? My son's the king now. I'm not going to bother him. I'm just going to go retire here in the corner. And the third one, you know, I've heard the Rudyard Kipling, how the elephant's nose and all like that, the elephant's child. It was cool to see a different culture have that one, and also to see monkey try to be like elephant and then just get swallowed. All right, and the podcast shout out is to the Australian Histories Podcast. This podcast covers so much history that I would not have otherwise heard of. Jenny covers everything and everyone from Jandamara, the Banuba warrior, to the Rum Rebellion, to the platypus controversy, and she does it all with a super calm and relaxing voice. And so if you like her podcast as much as I do, go and give her a listen, a rating, and a review. And the listener shout-out is to Tasmania, being 3% of my listeners from Australia. I was unaware that Tasmania covers not only just the Big Island, but also 1,000 other islands nearby. There are efforts to bring the local indigenous languages back into use, but the center is only allowing outsiders to look at place names at the moment until the people take back the language. In one such language, Nioni, the name of the island is Lutruwita. It was also called Van Diemen's Island after the first governor of Tasmania, before it was named Tasmania after Dutch explorer Abel Tasman. The island is also the setting for the hilarious and very Australian crime drama called Deadlock, D-E-A-D-L-O-C-H, that I'm currently watching with my parents. As I don't have access to the indigenous language, I will simply say thank you and good night.